We're doing the mitzvot of Parshat Ki Tetzeh, and Parshat Ki Tetzeh has 27 mitzvot aseh and 47 mitzvot lo ta'aseh, a total of 74 mitzvot in our parsha.
Not bad.
That's the parsha that has the most mitzvot. Figure out a 613, 74, that's over 10%. So the first mitzvah is about Eshet Yifat Tov. We have an order that the Torah tells us that a person sees a woman when he's out at war. So if he decides that he wants to marry her, he has an order of business. He brings her home, she shaves her head, she grows her nails long, she removes the beautiful garments she wore to attract men out at war, and when she spends a month weeping over the loss of her family, so then he could marry her if he chooses. I assume we won't go into the details of the mitzvah. We'll just quickly run through the mitzvot, yeah? Okay. The next mitzvah is the mitzvah. He's going through the order of aseh and then lotaseh. So he's skipping all the other lotasehs that we'll see in the lotaseh. Now we're going through the positive commands, the aseh. So the next aseh in the parasha is that if someone deserves to be hung, so we have a mitzvah to hang him. A person who blasphemes, a person who serves idols, they're the ones that get hung. That's how Chachamim say. Rabbi Eliezer says, "Kol haniskalim nitlim." Anyone who was stoned was hung after he was stoned. But the rabbis didn't go with this. The next mitzvah is that whoever was killed by the courts would get a proper burial, and he has to be buried that day. There's a special mitzvah to bury someone who was killed by the courts on that same day. The next,
so if he gets hung like an hour before the day finishes, they have to take it down.
Right, you have to take it down before sunset, right. The next mitzvah is Hashavat Avidah. That's the way they used to do it, by the way. They'd hang him for a minute.
In the night, right?
They didn't hang at night. They didn't execute at night. The way they used to do it is really they'd hang him close to sunset and a few minutes later take him down.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they really left him hanging just to fulfill the verse.
Yeah.
The next mitzvah is Hashavat Avidah. If we find someone's lost item, we have a mitzvah to return it. The next mitzvah is to help our brethren. If we see that they're trying to load a donkey or load someone who's carrying something, so we help them out. That's the mitzvah of Hakem Takim. Help him rise, help him load. We then have the mitzvah of Shiluach Haken, that if you want to take children from a nest, you want to take baby birds, you cannot do it in front of the mother. You have to shoo her away and then take the children. The next mitzvah is not to leave something that could be a stumbling block in our neighborhood. It says asita ma'ake. You have to make a wall. If you have a roof that people walk on, you have a porch that people can go on, then if you're living in that apartment, even though it doesn't belong to you, you're living there, you have to make a ma'ake. You have to make a fence, something that people won't fall off. We then have a mitzvah to marry. The mitzvah of kiddushin is over here in our parsha. And we have three ways we could do that. Either by money, which is what we do today. We do kiddushin with a ring, something of monetary value, or with a shtar, or by living together. The Torah says, ki kachi shisha, when a person marries a woman. And the Sefer HaChinuch goes with the opinion that that is a mitzvah in and unto itself. Other opinions say it's not. It's a preparatory mitzvah. It's a hechsher mitzvah. The mitzvah is to have children. You can't have children without having a wife. So you marry a wife in order to bring children. That the mitzvah, there is no intrinsic mitzvah in marrying. The Sefer HaChinuch goes with the opinion there is. That's the Rambam's opinion. We then have a mitzvah that if someone is a motzi shemra, if a person marries, and then he comes and he says, my wife wasn't a virgin, my wife played games between the engagement and the marriage, she went with someone else, he comes and lies, and then we can prove that he's a liar. So then the Torah says he may not divorce her forever, he must remain married to her forever.
If
he's proven to be a liar. So that's a special mitzvah that he must remain married to her forever. That he should never divorce her. The next mitzvah is that Beit Din should give the punishment of skilah, of stoning, to whoever deserves it. And there are specific commandments that one gets that death penalty. So that's the mitzvah that Beit Din should execute whoever has to get that execution. The next mitzvah is a mitzvah if a person raped a woman, a young girl, so then he has a mitzvah to marry her and remain wed to her forever, so long as she wants it. She says, I don't want him. But she might say, look, I'm never, no one's ever going to want to marry me after what he did. He should remain married to me. And so he has a mitzvah that he must marry her. If not, he has, he pays her father a special tax, 50 silver coins, and he marries her and he could never divorce her.
So if he doesn't care enough to go out, to go around raping women, so how is he going to fulfill this? He's not going to do this.
The courts might force him if she wants it. I mean, very often these things happen between a guy and a girl who know one another. They're on a date and he is overtaken with desire, and then afterwards he says, look, I don't want to marry a girl like you. What do you mean? You dated me 15 dates, you tricked me, you did this. No, we're not talking about seducing. We're talking about against her will. We are talking about rape.
Yeah.
Onus is rape. But there can be an instance where a guy rapes a girl, and it's not something he does often. It's something that he was overtaken with desire, and he just like someone could get angry and beat someone else up, someone can also do this. It's wrong. I'm not coming to equate the two. It's far more wrong. But there can be a situation where the girl says, now marry me. So he has a mitzvah that to remain married to her. There's a mitzvah that when we go out to war, so we should have a special place that a person can use as a bathroom. The Torah says, don't have people urinating and defecating all over the camps. You're a holy camp. You have to have a set place, a set bathroom. That's a special mitzvah, v'yad, a set place, t'yeh lecha mechutz l'machaneh. You'll have outside your camp. The next mitzvah is that every one of the soldiers, one of the utensils he takes to war is some kind of shovel, so that when he goes to the bathroom, it's not left lying around. And from here we have the whole concept that feces are unholy, that you cannot talk Torah next to feces. The Torah says, yeah, from here. Here the Torah says, when you're going out to war, one of the instruments, one of the utensils you have to take with you is a shovel, so that you don't have feces lying around the camp. Your camp is holy. I don't want that around the camp. From here we derive that God isn't there. You can't talk Torah in a bathroom. You can't think Torah in a bathroom. That's this commandment. We have a mitzvah in our Torah that when we lend money, so we know that if we lend money to a Jew, we're not allowed to take interest. When we lend money to a guy, so just like he could collect interest from me, I'm going to collect interest from him. It's a way of making money. Why should I give him my money for free? I have a special mitzvah. If you're part of the club called Jewish people, so I have to lend you money without interest, you have to lend me money without interest. If you're not part of this club, so just like when I need a loan, I can go to a non-Jewish bank and they collect interest from me, so too, if a non-Jew wants to take a loan from me, I take interest from him. The next mitzvah is that we fulfill our, whatever we say, we keep our word. If we make a promise, if we take a vow, we keep our word. The Torah says, Motza Sfatecha Tishmo, keep your word. The next mitzvah is that if we hire someone to work some food, let's say I hire someone and he's going to cut cheese for me. I hire someone and he's going to press grapes for me. So the Torah gives a special commandment that we let him eat from the food he's working with. Just like if you have an ox that's threshing, you're not allowed to hold him back from eating. So to a human worker who's working with food items, if he's working directly with the food items and the manufacturing of the food, so we have a special mitzvah, let him eat from that food.
How much?
It seems like limitless. Wow. So it seems like. So if I remember correctly, so long as he's working with the food. That's what I remember, if I remember correctly. The next mitzvah is that if a person wants to divorce his wife, he do it by writing a divorce contract, a get, sefer kritut. So it's a special mitzvah. That's how a person should divorce his wife. The next mitzvah is that when a person marries, the first year, he makes his wife happy. He doesn't travel. He doesn't go to a war that doesn't necessitate his going. For the first year, he's around. For a whole year, they're together. And that's mitzvah, naki yeleveito shana achat. He should be clean to his house. V'simach tishton, he'll make his wife happy. The next mitzvah is if we take collateral, let's say I give a person takes a loan from me. I tell him, how do I know you'll pay me back? So he says, here, take my axe. and maybe he needs it by day. He works cutting down trees. So we have a mitzvah every morning to give him back the collateral. At night, he'll give it back to me. So if it's something that he needs, the Torah says, give it back to him when he needs it, even though it's your collateral. But don't make him lose his life for it. Let's say he gives you his cover. So at night, he needs the cover to sleep. Give it back to him at night. The next mitzvah is to pay a wage worker every day. Meaning if you hire someone and you're paying him by day, if he finished working that day, you have to pay him that night. So when I hire a babysitter, I always try to pay him on the spot. Because that's this type of work. She's working for that night or that day. Right. So I'm supposed to pay her. That's a biblical mitzvah. Now, what happens if, let's say, you hire someone and you don't have cash on hand? So if Mordechai Eliyahu says, I didn't hear from him, but I heard it in his name, pay him a shekel. And then once you've started paying, it's as though the rest is on a loan. So you've started paying. And then you don't transgress this commandment. The next mitzvah is if a person forgot a bundle while harvesting, we have a special mitzvah to leave it. If you forgot one bundle, leave it for the poor. That's the mitzvah of shikha. Then the Torah gives us the mitzvah that if someone is wicked and he transgresses a commandment, then the courts have a mitzvah to give him lashes. So we know this is on a lav sheyesh bo maisa. It has to be a biblical prohibition. That's an active prohibition. He did something. He actively transgressed. And he was forewarned by witnesses, etc. So then he can get lashes. We then have the mitzvah of Yibum. If, God forbid, one dies without children, so then his brother has a mitzvah to wed his wife. That's called the mitzvah of Yibum. Then we have the mitzvah of Chalitza. Let's say the guy doesn't want to marry her. So we have a mitzvah that she takes off his shoe before the courts, and she spits in the shoe, and there's this whole procession in which they declare that he is not fulfilling the mitzvah of Yibum. He is not.
And that's a separate mitzvah.
It's a separate mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of Yibum to marry her, and then there's a mitzvah of Chalitza. If he chooses not to marry her, there's the mitzvah of how the removal of the shoe and the procession before the courts. Then we have a mitzvah to save someone who is being chased. If we see someone's about to kill someone else, we have to save him. If you can only save him by killing the guy, so kill him. You see someone chasing after someone else with a knife. So he's going to kill him. So we say, if you could cut off his leg, shoot him in the leg, shoot him in the leg. But if the only way you could save the guy who's being chased is by killing the one who's chasing, so kill him. That's a special mitzvah in our parasha. Then we have the mitzvah to remember what Amalek did to us. We fulfill that mitzvah once a year, right? Before Purim, we have parasha Zohar. We commemorate what Amalek did to us. And the last mitzvah to say in our parasha is we have a mitzvah to wipe out the remembrance of Amalek. That's the last mitzvah to say in our parasha. So, Baruch Hashem, we just went through all the mitzvah to say of Parashat Ki Tetzeh. We went through the 27 mitzvah to say. Now we have 47 mitzvah to say to go through.